morning. Last week we began discussing the nuts and bolts, the practical aspects of taking off Ma'aser K'safim and what you can use it for. To very briefly review, we discussed paying, supporting your children with Ma'aser, and we pointed out there are three levels. Children below the age of six, there's a chiyuv midin k'suv, there's a chiyuv to support your children until the age of six. Because it's an obligation, it's a davar shebechoyva, l'kuliyama, you cannot take these expenses off ma'aser, it's not staka, it's a choyv, it's something that you have to do, and therefore it's certainly not in the cheshbon. The other extreme, once a child is married, once they're on their own, there the halacha is, if they need help and you give them tzedakah, you certainly could take it off ma'aser. As we discussed, there is a kedima. You have to take care of relatives before you give other aniyim. Your children are your closest relatives, or actually after your parents, and therefore whatever support you're giving your children certainly could be take. You could use. There's nothing wrong with using ma'aser money for that support. Yeah, I mean, not legal, but according to you, it has to be DMX, or they have to be aniyim. If they're not aniyim and you're just giving them, you want them to live in luxury, you can't use ma'aser money for it. Now, if they're learning, and you hold they need this extra because they'll be able to learn, Bahar Vacha, they'll go Bahar Chava, Sadas, there you can use it, not al Tztaka for aniyim, but al Tzachzaka Zatayra. Now, that was, that's a Dvar Mitzvah, it's not Tztaka Laniyim, that was a discussion that we had last week. But once they're married, the kuleyama, you could use ma'aser money to support them. The one exception is if when they got married, you obligated yourself to give a certain amount of support. If at the time that you accepted that obligation, you did not intend to use ma'aser money, once you were mechayev yourself, it's a davar shebechayvo, you cannot change your mind later and decide to use ma'aser. But if when you accepted the obligation, your intent was to use your ma'aser money, then l'kuliyama, you can use that for to support your children. The middle level, from the age of 6 to 13, or 13 until they're married, was a machlokes. Me'ikar hadin, Shulchan Aruch, because there is no obligation to feed them once they're 6, you could use ma'aser money to support them. However, we said over from the Igros Moshe paskins, that today, because of the Chiyuv Ksuba, you have an obligation to support children that live at home until the normal age of self-sufficiency, which he says is until they get married. And therefore, according to the Igros Moshe, it becomes a davar shebechoyva, and you cannot use ma'aser money. Even those that argue on the Igros Moshe, the Birkei Yosef goes with the Ikar HaDin, that once they hit the age of 6, there's no chiv to support them. But Afal Pikein, he says, because the norm is to support, people do it not as a mitzvah, they do it because it's a family, because that's what's socially accepted. He says you should not use ma'aser money to support your children. Now, tuition, we discussed, is a little bit of a different question. Tuition, the issue is that a person is a chiv to teach his children Torah. Because he has a chiv to teach his children Torah, that does not stop at the age of 6. Therefore, paying for his Talmud Torah is also a davar shebechoyva, and you cannot use ma'aser money for it. B'shas Adchak, the poskim in Eretz Yisrael are mekel. Once the child has already learned Torah shebechsav, there the halacha is me'ikar hadin, a person where it's dechikulei shah, does not have to hire a malame to teach his children Torah Shebaal Peh. Therefore, once the children are old enough and now the tuition is going to Torah Shebaal Peh, there b'shas atchak, you can be mekel and say it's not a davar shebechoyva, and you could use ma'aser money for it. Yes, so there the poskim do say that if you have a choice of schools and there is a less expensive school that you will be mekayim your chiyuv of Talmud Torah, they're going to learn, just it'll take longer or perhaps not as well. So there, anything extra is no longer davar shebechoyva and you could use it. It's a dvar mitzvah, not atzaniyim, but you could use it. Masha'ein kein, if that other school is, you are not going to be mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there that would not, it would not be a factor. Now similarly, if you're paying for a tutor, so the place can make a similar distinction. If the child is struggling and he needs the tutor simply to pass, to be able to learn the Ikar HaDin, so there it's a davar shebechoyva, and there you cannot use ma'aser money for. However, if the child's doing just fine, he's keeping up in cheder, but you want him to learn extra, you want him to advance more, you want him to become a bigger Talmud Chacham, there already is not a davar shebechoyva. And there is for you'll be able to use ma'aser money, again, according to the minhag, to use ma'aser money for a dvar mitzvah. Now, girls' tuition, there's an interesting discussion. There, the chiyuv to send to school is not out to the chiyuv of Talmud Torah to your daughter. However, nevertheless, the Igros Moshe has another chiddush. The Igros Moshe says that today, if you don't send your daughter to a Beis Yaakov, so the truant officer will come around, the kids have to be in school, and they'll force you to send them to public school. Because by sending to public school, you're going to endanger all sorts of inyani ruchnias and teaching them hashkafos, which are not kosher. Therefore, he says it is now a chiyuv on a parent to send their daughter to Beis Yaakov. Once it is a chiyuv, it's a davar shabachoyva. So the Gros Moshe says you cannot use meiser money for a davar shabachoyva. Also, there are poskim in Eretz Yisrael that disagreed. They said the law doesn't make you into davar shabachoyva. But again, b'shas tchak, perhaps you can be mekel. Mikra Adin, Rav Moshe is machmer when there is a chiyuv, when there's a legal obligation to send to a school. Now, one thing the Gros Moshe adds, that when you're paying tuition above the normal cost, and what you're doing is you're essentially subsidizing other parents. So then, if you're subsidizing other people who are aniyim, that amount, he says, certainly you can deduct off meiser, both for a girl or for a boy's tuition, because that's already laniyim. That's already giving another ani, another person who can't afford the tuition, you're helping them send their children to school. That's certainly a day machsoyrei to keep their kids in school. And there he says, l'kuliyama, you'd be able to take that extra off your maisa.
How about if you come to a hesker with the yeshiva, how much to pay? Let's just say the full tuition is 10,000. And then based on your income, they say, okay, we're going to take 5,000 from you. So your obligation, your fee to them is 5. And you give them try to do extra, you give
them an
extra $1,000.
Right. So the Gros Moshe says that if you're paying the amount that you're supposed to pay based on your income, he says that's a davar shebechayva, and that's why they cut a deal with you. Whatever you add above that is not a davar shebechayva, and he says that you could take off. Now this is all discussing, this is a review of what we did last week, talking about what to use your meiser money for. What today's topic is going to be how to calculate meiser. How do you cheshbon 10% of what? Now, the idea of 10% of taking meiser off your profits should sound to be a very simple calculation. You figure out how much you earn during the year, take 10% of that, and that is the chi of meiser. However, as any accountant will tell you, that profits is a very vague and subjective term that can have all sorts of meanings. And as we're going to see, there's some interesting discussion among the poskim. It is usually very, very difficult to figure out what profits, what the chi of meiser really is. So let's begin with some of the basics. The makar of meiser, we said, there's an asmachta from a sifri, the Tesis and Tanis Daf Tes brought down. So they are discussed as meiser ksof in the context of taking meiser off ribis or pragmatia. A person has a business, he buys, he sells, he makes a profit, or he's a money lender. He lends money to Goyim, he charges interest. So, in that case, he takes off 10% of the profit, and that is his chi of meiser. What happens if a person is a businessman? He travels to Hong Kong, he buys goods, again, he buys $100,000 worth of goods. He sells it for $150,000. While he's there, he also is a broker, he puts together a deal, and he gets a $20,000 commission off that deal. How much meiser does he pay? So if you want to know his profits, so he bought stuff for $100,000, he sold it for $150,000, that's $50,000 of profits. He did some brokerage on the side, he made another $20,000, $70,000. The question is, what about his expenses? He had a flight to Hong Kong. How do we calculate his expenses, and how do we deal with that with halach? So interestingly, taxes we'll get to. So it's an interesting discussion, because if you think about it, when a farmer plants a field, he plants 50 bushels worth of grain, and 1,000 bushels grow. When he takes off Meister Rishon and Meister Sheni, how much Meister does he take? So clearly the halacha is, you have to take off Meister of what grew. What you invested, the seeds, how much the seeds cost, how much you had to pay the farmers, is irrelevant. The farmer may end up losing money if he had a wheat crop, and he, after he takes off Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni, and sure, he may end up losing money. But that's not the point. Anything that grows, you have to take off Ma'aser Rishon and your Ma'aser Sheni. Zok the Yaivitz, Imkain, Hu Hadin, by Ma'aser Ksafim. Forget about what you have to invest. Forget about your expenses that you have in order to generate the profit. The Yaivitz suggests that you cannot subtract your expenses. What you do is you take the profits, take off Ma'aser, and you have a chiv to take Ma'aser off that. Now, even the Yaivitz says that this is a big chumrah. And because Meiser is only a minhag, he says he's not. You don't have a chiyuv to do so. Halacha, k'mat, all the other poskim are chaylik. They all say you could take off expenses. Shlomo Yaakov has an interesting pshara. He says it depends on the case. If you travel to Hong Kong to buy merchandise, so the same way the cost of the merchandise certainly comes off the profits. So he says the cost of traveling there, the soft costs as well, you can add that all to the cost of the merchandise. However, he explains, and the truth is, the Chavis Yor explains that the reason why you take the difference between Ma'aser Rishon and Ma'aser Ksafim, the reason why by Ma'aser Ksafim you take off the expenses, you take off the expenses, and by Ma'aser Rishon you don't, he says, is because when you plant something, when a farmer plants it, what happens once he puts it in the ground? It's gone. The seed degenerates, and it's gone. Afterwards, there's panim chadashos. He says it's mamish, it's in floyes haboyre, something grows. That's panim chadashos. Since it's something new, it's panim chadashos there. When you take off ma'aser, you have to take off ma'aser of everything that grew. What you put in is long gone, that's written off already, and that we forget about that, we only calculate what comes in. Zag v'chavaz yar. That's when you plant something. Ma'ashe ain kain, if you're doing business, so if you're doing business, you're buying schoira, you're selling schoira. So there, it's not a nace. When you buy something for $100,000, you sell it for $150,000. That's not a nace. It's not it. Obviously, everything is hashkacha pratis, but it's not an aflois habayri. It works something which it makes sense. And therefore, if you want to figure out profit, we look at the whole thing. We look at what you invested, and you subtract that off the top. Now, the Yaivitz says the exact opposite. The Yaivitz says, wait a second. Farming is a very conservative investment. It's true. It's a pella that things grow. But the reality is, you plant something, 9 out of 10 times it's going to grow. He said, but if I care, you look at businesses, people make bad investments all the time. So if you want to know what's a bigger chiddush, is it a bigger chiddush that a farmer that plants something, he has something to harvest, or an investor is matzliach? He said the investor being matzliach needs more siyata d'shmaya, and that's why he argues besvara, and he says you can't take off any of the expenses. Again, this is the Yaivitz, but we mentioned the halacha, the place can argue. So going back to the Shmos Yaakov says it depends on the type of expense. If you're going to buy something, and part of you have hard costs, you have the expense of the item, you also have soft costs, the fact that you have to get there, there are the expenses of getting there, delivery. He says that it certainly is part of the investment, and that you take off before you cheshbon the profits. However, Zog the Shmos Yaakov, if a person just travels there, he doesn't have any specific plan in mind. He travels there, he figured he'll look around, he'll try to do some business, he'll try to broker a few deals. There he says, since you're not going to buy something, there's not something that's there for sale that you're going to buy. You travel there in the hope that you'll be able to do something. So that travel expense that money is gone. That's like the seed that's planted that degenerated, and that, adraba, there's no haychacha, there's no derech ateva that money will directly lead to a future profit. And therefore, in that case, where you just have an expense, which you hope maybe somehow something will work out, there he says you can't take it off your expenses, but in other cases you could. So they discuss meals. They say you could, if you go, Shlomo Yaakov is a bit more machmer, but in the case of a brokerage, any expense that you have, if you're going to buy things, there you would calculate all of your expenses, the hotel, the meal. However, they say you'll have to subtract how much you would have had to spend on food had you stayed home. So there is, you can't deduct the entire amount, but the fact that food is more expensive in Hong Kong than what your wife is going to serve you at home certainly is a cheshbon. Correct. If this is what it costs you to earn that money, then that comes off the top, because you're not earning X amount of dollars. There's an expense to it, and therefore, before you calculate ma'aser, you take off the expenses that it took to generate that income. Now, there's an interesting, the Chavis Yor deals with...
You want to whatever, and
Oh, very good. So the Chavis Yor had the following case. You had a person who was in business, and he bought himself a nice suit. The case was it had silver buttons on it. And it was a business expense. Like everything else, I guess they had the IRS back then. And anything that they could, they used to put onto the business account. So Zogt Chavis Yor, can you take this off your Maaser? So Chavis Yor says you have to deal with this as a regular partnership. Now the halacha is if you have a partnership, you're the manager of the company. Now as a manager of the company, he said there is a concept in halacha. Sometimes you have to buy yourself, you have to look presentable. You have to buy yourself a fancy suit, a nice suit. You have to have a meeting with some executives. If you walk in looking like a schlepper, it's not going to work. So there is a concept in halacha where if you need this for business, you have to buy nicer clothing, you have to have a nice car to pull up in the meeting. There, that's a business expense, and that you could take off your maisa, off the profits. However, Zakta Chavis Yor, what happens if you on your own decide you want a luxury? You're running a grocery store. What kind of suit you wear is not going to make a difference. You're not going to sell more containers of milk because you have a nicer suit. What kind of car you drive is not going to make a difference either. There, if you want to go ahead because you want the luxury and you put it under your business account because it's better for tax purposes, there the Chavis Yor says, avada, that you cannot count it as expense, that does not come off the profit cheshbon, and you have to give Maaser off the entire amount. Now this, of course, will make life very difficult for those that are liberal with their expense accounts, and the people who go ahead and pad it and push all personal expenses onto it will have a much more difficult time figuring out their Maaser. And in Chanami, it's another reason to try to be a little bit straighter. But you do have to keep in mind
that I'm going anyway, somebody is taking the extra day for vacation. So the extra day vacation I can't come, but the commuting, well, anyway, I have to commute for
yeah, if Mistama, if you're going there for business and while you're there, you stay an extra day, just like if there was a shutvis. Mistama, if you had to go for the shutvis and then you just stay. I understand. So Mistama, if a shutvis stays an extra day on his own expense, you probably can't go after him since he went be'ikr for the business and a chanami. But it is a slippery slope. Because now when you have to decide whether or not the business needs you to go to Hong Kong, there's a little shaykhah involved. But if the truth is you really had to go for business purposes, mistama, that's not a problem. So this is the first halacha that you can take, according to Kamado of the Paiskim, you can take all legitimate business expenses and deduct that before you calculate what the profit was from Maaser. Now, what happens if a person has two businesses? Where he has his business, he's very successful, he made a lot of money. And all too often what happens is he figured, if I can run this business well, I'm probably a smart investor also. And he invests in real estate or who knows what. And he loses, and he suffers a tremendous loss. So there's a profit in one business, there's a loss in another business. How do you deal with this in Hilchos Maaser? So over here there's another Yehuda. He was asked this question. And he actually starts off by saying he does not like answering questions on Maaser Kesafim. Because normally he gets asked a shayla, so he goes this sugya in the shas, halacha, the poiskim, and you bring rayas, you madam milsa lamilsa, and there's a hachra, there's a psak halacha. When it comes to Maaser Kesafim, there is no makar in the Gemara that discusses Maaser Kesafim. There's very little in the poiskim. And everyone just says their own svaras, madam milsa lamilsa, and he says it's very difficult to do. But after he finishes this Agdama, he comes up with a brilliant diik in the Sifri. And he says it like this. There are actually two different shitas. The first shita is, and there's a sugi in Bava Metzia, that what happens if you invest money with someone, and the deal is the investor will get 50% of the profits, but he's gonna bear 70% of the losses. Now he gives the person money twice. One investment does great, makes $100,000. The other investment loses $100,000. So when they come to make a cheshbon, the investor says, okay, it's a wash. One made 100, one lost 100. So you had a net gain of zero. So just give me back all of my money. The manager said, nothing to it. The investment that you gave me that made $100,000, let's split 50-50. So I'm going to give you back your principal plus the extra $50,000. The investment that lost $100,000, you're responsible for 70% of the losses. So you have to give me back of the $50,000 of profit you gave that I gave you. You have to give me back the 50 plus 20 of principal, and I end up with $20,000 in my pocket. So what's the halacha? Do we look at the two investments as one? Do we combine it together, or we deal with them separately? So the Gemara says it depends. If you gave the money, even if it's two separate deals, if there's one contract, you gave it at the same time, and there's one shtar that says, I'm giving you $200,000, you're going to use half for this and half for that. If it's one shtar, we look at it all as one partnership, and therefore we wash the loss in one, and the gain in the other will be a wash, and the investor will be correct. However, if the money is given separately, two separate agreements, two separate shtaris, two separate documents, there we deal with each one separately. It's not a wash. They split the profits of the one that was profitable, and they split the losses on the one that lost money, and the investor will end up losing. So based on this, the Chabad Zioris says, if you have a gain in one business and a loss in the other, he says, you are ki'ilu a partner, a shutif, a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, therefore, it depends. He says, if you make you sit down with your accountant, you figure out whether you lost money, you gained money. So then, in Hilchos Ma'aser Ksafim, if there's a gain, there's a chi of Ma'aser. If the next day you do another business deal and it loses, he says you can't do a wash. It's like two separate shtaris. Once you made a cheshbon and figured out where you were standing, that deal is over, it's done, it's finished, you close the books. And you cannot set off or a future loss against the gain that you already booked.
You mean the
Rosh Hashanah
doesn't net it out on Rosh Hashanah?
So we'll get that in a minute. So the Chavis says it doesn't go by any specific date. It goes by your accountant. You didn't appreciate your accountant, but it comes out when your accountant, when you sit down and make a cheshbon, where I'm standing, that's what's kaveya. Anything until now is one deal. Anything in the future is a new deal. That's the Chavis Yor. The Nadiv Yehuda argues. The Nadiv Yehuda says that it goes by the year. Just like by Ma'aser Rishon, there's a concept each year is separate for Ma'aser. He says for Ma'aser Ksafim as well. He says each Rosh Hashanah is a new cheshbon. Kadosh Baruch Hu is goyzer throughout that year, for the whole year, what the Mezaynos Shel Adam will be. And therefore, anything that happens during that year, you can set off against gains, losses. Doesn't matter when you make the accounting. The pshat is it's once per year, which he suggests should be Rosh Hashanah. Now, the Igros Moshe and the Shevet HaLevi both follow this psak of the Nadiv Yehuda. And therefore, what they say is during any given year, you can set off losses in one business against profits in the other, but only during that year. If you have a tremendous loss one year, there's no carry forward. You can't go ahead and use it for the next year. And the same thing the other way. If you have a profit in one year, there's a chi of Ma'aser. If the next year you suffer a loss, you can't go ahead and claw back any of that Ma'aser Ksafim. It goes by the year.
So can you somehow kind of drag it so that you push the loss to the next year?
So what a year is actually, the Nadiv Yehuda and the Chavis Yor both suggest you use Rosh Hashanah. Because that is when Mezaneis Shel Adam is Ketuvim Rosh Hashanah Vad Rosh Hashanah. They say that's when it should be. However, the Shevet HaLevi says that it's very often difficult to do that. The statements that you get from your brokerage generally go through the calendar year. You have a fiscal year. And therefore, the Poskim are makel. If it's easier for you, you can use any year. You can use the tax year if that'll make life easier for your calculations. As an eight, I don't think. I think once you have it, this is the year. You can't change it in mil. Okay, good. So we'll get to that in a minute. But as far as the offsets, each year is going to be a separate cheshbon. But during that year, Rav Pais can say you could go ahead, you could wash one against the other. Now another halacha, which is this is a Yosef Oymitz, says that the chiyuv of Ma'aser Ksafim, he says, is only when you have realized gains. Now, so what happens if a person buys a building? The building doubles in value. So, in theory, he is a lot wealthier. His net worth has certainly increased. But it's still the building. So there, the Poskim say that the Chi of Ma'aser Ksafim is when you actually realize the profits. The fact that its book value went up is not relevant. We look at if you actually sell the building, when you actually profit from it, that is when the Chi of Ma'aser Ksafim will kick in. Now, the same token, if a person sells merchandise, even if he sells it at a profit, if he has not yet collected the funds, There, most places can say there's no chi of ma'aser k'safim. You work on a cash basis, not on an accrual basis, because it's only when the money actually comes in, at that point there's a profit. The fact that you sold it, the fact that you expect the money to come in, that is not yet considered a profit.
So if a person, for example, has real estate, so he buys a building for $1 million, and let's just say he has $50,000 of rents that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
In the world of theory, that's really not profit yet, because he may have a mortgage on it, he has expenses, etc. If technically he holds on to the building for the rest of his life, he'll never have any nicer to be. How does he calculate profit?
Mm-hmm.
Just because he decides how much to pay for the mortgage and how much he wants to keep for to put in his pocket. What is the
Okay. The simple answer is you figure out, you see what the income is. You set that off for the expenses. The expenses will be maintenance. Part of the expenses will be the interest payments that you have to pay on the mortgage. And the remainder, at least in theory, will be the revachim. That will be the profits. Where things get complicated is where there's depreciation. Now, the IRS has their rules. In halacha, there's no sugya of hilchus depreciation. But you're going to have to, it's something which is real. If there is a certain loss, if there's a certain expected shelf life, you certainly have the right to take that into account. Because real estate's not such a good example, but you buy a car for the business. So if every year this car is depreciating, then you can't just look at the cash basis. You have to look at the fact that there is a loss, that it is going down in value. The Shevet HaLevi says as a svarer, he says you sort of have to split it. He says any capital investment where you're buying something for the business, he says you can't take off the entire investment as you can't diminish the profits completely. He says you just take half of, he has a pshar, he says take half off right away, and the other half, if when you end up selling the asset it's at a loss, at that point you'll take off the rest. But if you're making a capital investment, you're putting money in to the business, it's a capital investment. It's not, the money is not completely gone. Shevet HaLevi svar is half. Like I said before, there's no sugya about how to deal with depreciation, and there's no sugya how to deal with this. What you should do is, and the Chavos Yar and the Minchas Yitzchak all say, deal with it as a partnership. Look at it as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your partner. If you have a partner, how between your partners, how are you calculating what's profits, what's losses, what's capital? So whatever calculations you're using for them, treat the Rebbeinu Shloilom, treat Meiser as a 10% shutif in this endeavor. But to give hard rules exactly how much to depreciate each year is very difficult, because again, it's not a sugya. You should just pick a way, be consistent, make sure it makes sense for the situation, and that's what you should follow.
Is the mitzvah the calculation itself, or is it the percentage? That is, let's say that I'm taking a trip to Philly with my kids in the car, half the tank of gas, the 3/4 I've used for business, the other for I don't know to the penny exactly how much gas I've used.
Okay.
I'm just gonna have an estimate. And over time, I expect, I'll probably estimate 11-12% range.
Very good, very good. So interesting, if you go through the Makairis, there are a number of paiskim. And the Chavetz Chaim, there's a Knesset Zagdoyla, there are a number of places that say that just like by regular Meiser, there's a halacha, you're not allowed to be mafresh be'oimid. You're not supposed to estimate. You're supposed to give exact Meiser. You count the animals, you have them walk through, and the 10th one you mark off. So many places can say that the same is true by Meiser Ksofim. And he said that even if you want to give more than Meiser, you should first separate Meiser. You want to give more, you can do that afterwards. However, in a practical sense, the Shevet HaLevi says, it's virtually impossible today. Because of these issues, it's one thing if you're on a salary, so 10% is a pretty well-defined, it's pretty easy to define. But if you're running a business and you have expenses, you have depreciation, it's virtually impossible to really come up with an exact number. And the other Shevet HaLevi says, a person should be samech on the other shitas, and he should just use his best, do his best. He can estimate, try to overshoot a little, but he should not be makbid on this. It is a chumro dosli de kula. If you try too hard to get it exact, you're going to end up giving up because it's just not going to be possible.
What if like a building appreciates a tremendous amount, and a guy gets a loan now, and
it's a good cash. Al pi pashtus, since he has to pay back the loan, he should not have to take meiser. Now, every month when the building's income is paying down that loan, so whatever he's paying down that loan, he should be taking meiser off that, because that's profit, even though it's going back to the bank. But to say, because the money has to be paid back, it's hard to be mechayev and take off ma'aser today off money that ultimately has to be returned. Very good. So on the salary, you definitely have to take ma'aser. That's money that you pulled out. On reinvestment, so there's a Yosef Oymitz that I started saying before, that as long as the business is still, if the money is still besafik, you don't have to take ma'aser. So if you have an investment that might be throwing off some cash, but there's a real risk, you don't know whether you're going to ever recover the principal, so then the Yosef Oymitz says you do not have to take ma'aser. Now, in a case of dividends, it really should depend on the case. If a person has money in a mutual fund, so to the extent that the mutual fund increases in value, as we said before, an unrealized gain, you don't have to take ma'aser. On the other hand, if it's throwing off dividends, but you instruct them, you know what, instead of giving me the dividends, I want to reinvest it. What's really happening is they're paying you. It's taxable income. And you're instructing them, the money that's supposed to go in my pocket, I want to invest some more. I want to buy another couple of shares in this fund. So in that case, you've realized the gain. You've instructed them to roll it over again. So I don't see any reason why there would not be a chiyuv ma'aser. That being said, if you have a building and it's throwing off some profits, but the nature of the business is you need to have some sort of buffer, you need to have money there because eventually you're going to have to do some maintenance, the boiler will go, and the business needs to have capital in. So there, the same way with a regular partnership, a partner cannot force distributions. If there's money, if there's capital the business may need, that's the norm. So I think the same thing would be true by Ma'aser Kesafim. If you want to leave money in the business because that is the norm, how to manage the property, you can't pull everything out. I don't think there would be any chiyuv to take ma'aser off that amount of money that needs to stay in, since it's still locked in, it's still at risk. Now, another very common issue that comes up is a person buys a house. He holds on to it for 20, 30 years. And then he sells it at a tremendous profit. Doubles, it triples in value. Now the problem is, although it tripled in value, the house, he bought it for $200,000, he's selling it for $600,000. The problem is that everything around also tripled in value. And everything costs more than it did 30 years ago. So how do you, when you're taking off ma'aser, when you have something that appreciates in value, how do you deal with inflation? So they hear the Igros Moshe, and again, a number of other poskim, they all say, that although typically in halacha, when we deal with Hilchos Ribbis, we ignore inflation. We say the value of money does not change over time. Again, why, is a whole different discussion. But when it comes to Ma'aser Kesafim, the poskim are all mekel, and they say the chiyuv of Ma'aser Kesafim is your real profit. That the fact, how much this is, the item, when translated back into money, is really worth more today than it was back then. Therefore, they say you can subtract from the capital gains the amount that's attributable to the inflation. Oh, very good. But the Poskim say like this. The Poskim all say, seems that especially in Eretz Yisrael, they had a very skeptical view of the government statistics. And they said the CPI in Eretz Yisrael, they said, is fudged. The government knows that the higher the CPI, the official inflation rate, it's not good for the economy. And all of their social programs that are linked to the index, the higher the rate, the more they have to pay out. And therefore, they say you do not follow the official rate. They say is what you do is you ignore, he said, first of all, they don't trust it. And second of all, the official rate generally uses real estate and other types of capital goods. He says, so the place can say that's not what we look at. We look at the everyday staples that people need. So you look at the price of milk, bread, the general things that people need and people buy all the time, the cost of clothing, and that is how you'd calculate your inflation index. Now, in a practical matter, I have no idea how you're going to do that. You're going to have to spend a lot of time and effort trying to come up with a new halachic CPI index. So like I said before, although you know, all things being equal, a person should try to give ma'aser exact. If you try to make this chesed, you probably will not be able to. So do your best. You make a calculation and just try to overshoot. Oh, so what about taxes? So that's like this. When you're talking about profits, you certainly have to look at your base, your cost basis. If you invested money, you went ahead, you improved things, you put in a swimming pool, whatever you did, that certainly increases the cost basis for ma'aser as well, and that comes off the net profit. Okay. Now taxes are a whole discussion. How do you deal with taxes? When you take off ma'aser, do you take off ma'aser before taxes or after taxes? You know, I understand. So we'll deal with all taxes. Real estate taxes, sales tax, and income tax. So like this. As far as real estate taxes on an investment, that's clearly an expense. The same way you have to pay utilities, you have to pay a mortgage, you have to pay the government. So everyone agrees if you have an investment property and you have to take and you have to pay taxes, that's all part of your cost, and that all comes off from the cheshbon of profits. Where there is a discussion, however, about income tax. When a person pays income tax, do you take off Meiser before the income tax or after the income tax? What comes first, Uncle Sam or the Chi of Meiser? So over here, the Emes Yaakov says it depends. He says if it was a withholding tax, in other words, he says there you never got the money. You never got the money, that's not called profit, he says, and there certainly you take off the Meiser from your gross, what you actually saw. However, if you're paying into income tax, you're self-employed, the end of the year you're paying the tax on your own, or your employer didn't withhold enough, you have to pay more, there the Emes Yaakov is machmer, he says you cannot take it off your Meiser. Igros Moshe, however, argues. Igros Moshe says any income tax comes before the Meiser. Because income tax means we said before, you have a partnership with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a three-way partnership. It's between you, the Rabbi Shlomo, and Uncle Sam. And since Uncle Sam takes his bite, if we want to know, Uncle Sam is not a shutter with the Rabbi Shlomo. You are. So you, on your share of the profits, have to give Meiser. Since the government comes, he says, the government comes first, they're their own cheshbin, and therefore first you pay your income tax, whatever's left over, that you take Meiser off. Now obviously if you're going to get a deduction off the donation, and that will reduce your tax liability, so you'll take Meiser off that refund that you're getting. But at least conceptually, whatever you're paying for income tax, the Gros Moshe paskins that you could comes off before you take Meiser. So in your own house, the Gros Moshe says you do have you cannot subtract it, because the same way in your house you have to pay for person is renting a house, he pays rent, person pays utility, that's a cost of the house. So real estate taxes is a cost of living, of owning a house. So it's a cost that's imposed by the government, but nevertheless it's a cost, a personal expense, and therefore the Gros Moshe says that real estate taxes on a personal residence you cannot take off. Very theoretically. No, it's not. Even theoretically, it's not. Theoretically, the government is supposed to eventually pay it back, but it's not going to your account. It's going into a pot where it's paying anybody. But even then, the government has no debt to you. They don't owe you the amount you're putting in. Good, but the government has no obligation. They're not lending money to the government that they owe back to you. It's a system set up which is supposed to work that you put in and you will eventually get back. But it's not a debt. It's not like you're putting away money. So it is a tax, which you may or may not ever get benefits. I don't know how old you are. What? What did you say? Yeah, so 100%. If the government gives you money, at that point it's income. At that point it's taxable. It's miserable. But what they're taking over Social Security is like every other tax. Benefits are actually a bit of an interesting discussion, because the benefits, if it's a benefit where they don't give you a choice, they put in a certain amount of money into your 401k, you have no access to, or the olden days they put money into a pension plan, so they're not giving it to you now. You have no access to it. In the old fashioned pension plans, you had no access to it, you had no choice, so that you wouldn't take the Meiser until you actually have access to it. On the other hand, if you have a salary and you direct them to take off a certain amount and put it into a 401k, where it's your choice, you direct them to do it because they're going to match it, whatever they're going to do, but it's your choice. It's money that they owe to you that you say, don't put it in my pocket, put it in this account for me. There, l'chora, you should be taking off Meiser, even though the cash is not ending up in your hands. Excuse me? So, as far as tax purposes, you can defer the income. But to the extent that it's owed to you and you choose to put it, lock it in a box, I don't know why in Hilvus Meiser Ksofen there wouldn't be a chiv to Meiser right now.
Well, what about health insurance? Let's say our employer pays health insurance, and if we don't take health insurance, we don't get that money. And if we take health insurance, then we get health insurance.
Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question. Let me get back to that at the end, because another issue we have to deal with first. It's true, but personal expenses, a person has to eat, right? No one's going to say, I shouldn't say no one, there is a Knesset HaGdoyla, but Roy Paiskim say you can't deduct your food costs off Maaser. Because you have a job, you made profit, you take Maaser off that, you give some of it to Tzedakah, and the rest of it you use for your expenses. So the same way you need a place to live, the expense of a mortgage or electricity is an expense that comes, that you use money that was already Maaser. So taxes are just another expense of owning a house, which you pay with for money. No, the taxes that you pay in a personal residence don't come off when you sell the house. An investment is different. An investment is different because you look at all the money that went into this box, we look at all the money that came out, that net is the profit. When you're living in a personal residence, so the expenses of maintenance is not an investment, it's not a loss, it's what you're paying for the use or for to be able to live in that house. So it's an expense just like food, water, and anything else you may need it, but it's a personal expense and you would not take off Maaser, right? Okay, so this is regular income. What happens if you receive a gift? A present. So over here, this is not discussed, the Sefri does not discuss it, but Rabbeinu Yoina says if a person gets a Yerusha, or if he finds, Rabbeinu Yoina says if a person finds a Mitziah, he finds an item on the street, or if he receives a Matana, you do have to take Maaser. Bottom line is, it is a profit that you have, it's money that you came across, and therefore you do have to take Maaser. Now, even if the person who gave you the present had taken Maaser himself, he says that's not relevant. It's new to you, this is new money, to you it is new profit, and therefore to you, you would have to take Maaser. Now that being said, the big question is, what about you get a gift? Person gets married, he gets this beautiful silver tchotchke. To him, it's worth absolutely nothing. In the street, it has real value. Now, you're going to end up with a situation where you're going to end up spending more on the Maaser than it's worth, to you at least. So over here, there's a tremendous machlokes ha'poskim. Al pi svara, there should be no... Normally, we find shava kesef is kekesef. And therefore, al pi svara, you should have a chi of Maaser. The tztokum mishpat, who is machmer, who says you do have a chi of Maaser, is makel and says you only have to pay what it's worth to you. You don't look at the market value, you look at what you would pay for it. That is considered a revach, that's considered a profit. You would take off Maaser of that. Now, what to do if it's worth nothing to you and a lot to your wife? That I will leave up in the air. But that's the tztaku mishpat tzpzak. Maaser, said over b'shem l'chazoynish, that the minug is not to take Maaser off shava kasef. If you look around, people who bar mitzvah, they get svarim, they generally do not go ahead and figure out exactly what the svarim are worth and give 10% of that value to tzedakah. People who get wedding presents, silver, he says the minog is not to. Now, Hayois, as we mentioned many times, Maaser Ksavim is a minog. It's hard to tell someone he has to do more than the common practice, and therefore I think most people are makel and do not take Maaser off an actual item. They only take Maaser off money that they receive as a present, not goods. If a person wants to be machmer, there certainly is makom for it, but you can't say it's a chiyuv because that doesn't seem to be the common practice. Now, where things get very sticky, what happens if you get a gift certificate? Now, is that money or is that an item? What? That's money. So there is one, I did see someone say that's money. Shem and Rissen Kerel is money because you can buy what you want with it. On the other hand, the gift certificate is to a specific store. Now, if he gave you anything in the store, that's not money, that's an item. You wouldn't take off Maaser. So now they gave you a choice. Why should that be different? Now that is one shiloh. But what comes up more often is what happens if you're given money to buy a specific item? So you have the you're getting cash, but you're supposed to buy the specific item. So over there, the Chazanish there is machmir. He says when someone gives you money, even though he wants you to buy the item, he usually doesn't mind if you take off 10% and give that to tzedakah. He says, but it'll depend. If they gave you exactly the amount you need to buy this item, and if you take off Maaser, you won't be able to buy it. So then it's awesome. It was given for a specific purpose. You can't go ahead and embezzle it for Maaser. But if you have enough, you can just buy yourself, you can still be able to afford it. You'll buy a little bit of a cheaper model. There's no specific payda. There the Chazal Yonah says, since you got money, there would be a chiyuv to take off Maaser. Now, a similar shayla Ligros Moshe in Chelik Beis and Kuf Yud Beis discusses about a parent that was supporting his son in Kail. And lo and behold, he finds out his son, every time he got some money, was taking off Meiser. The father said, "What do you mean? I'm giving money because I want you to maintain a certain standard of living. I give my own tzedakah. I'm not giving it to you to give out for Meiser or for tzedakah." So there the Igros Moshe paskins, since the parent is giving it specifically for the child to maintain a certain standard of living, it's being given out tonight for personal use only. There the Igros Moshe paskins like the father and says there would be no chiyuv to give Meiser in that case. His case is the father was makbid. He said, "I'm giving you the money, but I'm giving it for you to use. I'm not giving it to you to give out." And he says the father has the right to make such a kveda. By stam, the Igros Moshe doesn't address. There are other tshuvas that say by stam you can assume that generally there is no kveda. But I call it fi amakim hazman. It's hard to give rules.